Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Tribe Family Channel, Voices of Wisdom. This is the final season 10, episode 2, hosted by civil rights activists of the historical Tuvalu Nine, Mrs. Geraldine Hollis and Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. Today's guest speaker, Dr. Alveda King, civil rights activist and niece of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. Alveda C. King is the daughter of the slain civil rights activist, Reverend A.D. King, and his wife, Naomi Barber King. This episode is sponsored by Carlos Martin, the host of Criminalized by Color, and he has a new book out. And you can follow him on all social media. We will get that information and have him join us on Voices of Wisdom, Episode 3. Meanwhile, let me tell you a little bit about the Tuvalu Nine. For those that don't know, at 11 a.m. on March 27, 1961, nine students from the historically black Tuvalu College walked into the all-white Jackson, Mississippi Public Library. Joseph Jackson Jr., their leader, approached the circulation desk. They were trained by the late, great Medgar Evers to do a peaceful read-in. They staged this as a way to desegregate the public institutions in Mississippi, known as the public libraries in Jackson, Mississippi, which ultimately did spread throughout and spark another arm of the change in the civil rights movement. And this was in 1961. I was 2 years old. Little did I know in my history that the library system would become such a pivotal part, as I would need it so badly publishing my first series of the Gumbo for the Soul series anthologies. So we are hosted by the Tuvalu Nine. I am Beverly Black, and I am instead for Mrs. Geraldine Hollis away traveling. But we want to remind everybody that Tribe Family Channel is a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand, and you can follow us and access the archives of this show via blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul, or also follow our Anthologies at gumbleforthesoulinternational.com. That is our parent company. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let me bring on Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr., how are you, sir?
Yeah, how are you doing there, Ms. Black? I'm fine. I can't complain, you know, at all with regards to my contribution to the civil rights movement and being a part of that history. So at the age of 82, you know, and being able to have been blessed to come from up out of that Jim Crow system, having been born in Memphis, Tennessee, and I came to California at the age of 30. So I am truly blessed to actually be a part of the historic history, fighting for the rights of our people and continuing to do so.
Indeed, amen. Indeed, amen. We could not do what we are doing without you curating history. And for me, it is just such an honor to have such an iconic civil rights activist such as yourself on this show. I was listening to our first show of this season when you were really explaining your role and how the Tougaloo Nine came about, as well as we recognize the foot soldiers and what have you. And I want to remind our listeners that you need to go back and listen to that first episode, blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. Now, we are not going to keep Dr. Alveda King waiting, but I'm so honored to introduce one era of the civil rights activist to another era, or I should say, entity of the civil rights activist. And you have your own Dr. King stories, and we are so honored that we are able to make this meeting possible. Because of you, you have elected Mr. Jackson to highlight this episode's topic on Dr. King's last book, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community? And that is published by King Legacy. Now, we're going to explore that subject content. The foreword is by the late Coretta Scott King. And what is so, I want to say, just phenomenal is that this book is not only Dr. King's last book, but he wrote this book in Jamaica. He went into seclusion and penned this book. And here we are in 1968. Now, here we are in 2019, and we are truly at this pivotal point of the question, where do we go from here, chaos or community? Ladies and gentlemen, live on Tribe Family Channel, Voices of Wisdom, I present to you Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. It is my honor, privilege, and pleasure to introduce to you Dr. Alveda King. Dr. Alveda King, welcome to the show. Please meet Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. of the Tougaloo Nine.
Well, Sister Beverly, brother, my brother, Mr. Jackson Jr., I was listening to your testimony. It was incredibly powerful, and I was glad to have witness and testimony to it. And this is the advantage that we actually have had coming through all these generations and still being here today to tell the generations to come what they're going to need to do so that they can continue to persevere. I think it's a really exciting opportunity to join you on the airwaves.
Well, thank you, Dr. King. I really feel a very, very cultural association with your family, especially by us both being Southerners. And mm-hmm. when we speak of the plight of our people struggling under the weight of that Jim Crow system, the generation now of today, I'm very saddened by their lack of knowledge or their lack of enthusiasm to really focus on why the freedoms that they are enjoying now, how those freedoms were paid in blood by our ancestors. And for me to have been chosen by God at that momentous time when I was a ministerial student there at Tougaloo Southern Christian College, I wanted to be the type of minister that your uncle was. And I wanted to go to institutions of learning to prepare me for the same role that he played, as well as the role that your father played.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, this is history, and I hope, yeah, it's history. I'm praying that people are listening.
Absolutely,
well, yeah.
Absolutely. We are definitely globally based, and this has been promoted all over social media. Now, Mr. Jackson wanted to discuss where do we go from here, chaos or community. The introduction of this book says, this book must be read in the urgent context of King's difficult experiences in Watts and Chicago, which seemed more representative of the nation's deeper racial dilemma than were the southern battlegrounds of Selma and Montgomery. For instance, Chicago was the setting for King's fierce reminders that the economic plight of the masses of Negroes were worsened since the beginnings of the Southern Freedom Movement because slum conditions had worsened and Negroes attend more thoroughly segregated schools than in 1954. In the face of such hard facts, King insisted on pressing two other realities into the nation's conscience. One was his continuing plea for a coalition of Negroes and liberal whites that will work to make both major parties truly responsive to the needs of the poor. At the same time, he insisted that we must not be oblivious to the fact that the larger economic problems confronting the Negro community will only be solved by federal programs involving billions of dollars, and this is not the case. This was the King of Where Do We Go From Here, sparked by the young men of Watts, informed by the streets he walked in Chicago, inspired by the magnificently ordinary organizers and community members who faced white rage and fear-filled violence in the Windy City and its suburbs. King was constantly teaching, learning, urging, admonishing, reminding of the powerful obstacles in our histories, our institutions, and our hearts, but also calling our attention to the amazing hope represented therein. What are your comments in the hope of what Dr. King's last book evokes?
Where do we go from here? I have some very good news for you. On August 28th this year, 2019, and when I say we, I and 29 others released a research, Black and Brown Americans in Search of the American Dream, a 21st century treatise. And this is a study that spans 400 years of Black history, with contributions from some of America's voices of freedom. You can do Alveda King, Black and Brown Americans in Search of the American Dream. You can Google that and you can find it. I actually quoted again from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In this book, we opened up with some quotes from him, his father, and his brother, my dad, Reverend Alfred Daniel Williams King. And I will share some of those quotes with you. We talked about the Monahan Report in there, the Black Wall Street. I don't know if you all even know that there's an Office of Population Affairs in the United States government, but there is. So here's just a couple of those quotes from the King Trio, I call them, Daddy King and his two sons. And so I'm pulling them up right here. We decided to put them here in the book just so. Now, Daddy King, Martin Luther King Sr., when I was a little girl, when he would get dressed up and he'd be going downtown to meet with the mayors and the NAACP and all of that. So one day I asked him, I said, Granddaddy, where are you going? He had on his suit, his tie, his fedora hat, his shoes were polished, and he said, I'm going to see a man about a mule. Now, I was a little girl, so that didn't register to me, 40 acres and a mule. Then Martin Luther King Jr., Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., his son, we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. That's Martin Luther King Jr. And then my dad, Reverend Dr. Alfred Daniel Williams King, economic security does not make you morally well. So I believe that the three of them, the father and his two sons that followed in his footsteps as Baptist preachers, knew that wherever we go, we're going to have to go in God, go in Christ, be led by the Holy Spirit. So where do we go from here? In that particular book, we do talk about reparations and fatherhood and why we need God, so many different various topics in the book. So wherever we go, we've got to go in the Lord. I think that's the message that I want to give.
Amen, amen, amen. Mr. Jeff?
Amen to that. Gee, I feel like running from out of my apartment, which is called the Temple of Peace, Dr. King. I feel like running out shouting. You took something
amen.
In me.
Amen. You know, run your race, Mr. Jackson. Run your race. And, you know, her words do resonate because we have a lot of chaos going on from here, chaos or community. And
That's okay.
We're just going to keep on going. The question,
okay.
Where do we go from here, chaos or community? We do realize that we are at a pivotal point. And what would you have in response to what Dr. King had to say, you know, because the one thing that I do have to remember is that God is still in control. But, Mr. Jackson,
amen.
Your comments. Amen.
What, my comments?
Yes, your response to Dr. King and the trinity of the King, the brothers' quotes. The father and the two sons. Amen.
Well,
Daddy King and the two sons.
Well, as I said earlier, I somehow or another as I mentioned that Dr. King as well as Dr. Alveda King's father, what really inspired me to become the ministers like they were was because first and foremost, how they chose not to be bowed down before the powers that be, which was known as the White Citizens Council and the Ku Klux Klan, you know? And so having been a former deputy probation officer for the County of Los Angeles, and having been blessed to work in the intake department, whereas I really had an opportunity to sit across from minors that were brought in by law enforcement, and they were largely black and brown minors. And when I realized that in the criminal justice system, prejudice and biasness and labeling of these innocent minors, even though most of them that allegedly had committed crimes, they were just followers of some of the other black and brown older minors. And so I saw that when the police brought these black and brown minors to me, it was not about really the offense itself. It was all about a Jim Crow system that I observed here when I was in California. And I took that on as a ministry because I
knew
that these black and brown minors were not really given the appropriate legal process of justice only because of the neighborhoods that they came from out of and the disadvantages that they still had to try to overcome. And so that's why
now,
my
I would like to.
Go ahead.
Let me let you finish that thought. No, go ahead. Finish that thought.
No, I said.
And that's why Dr. King's book, in terms of the question, where do we go from here, chaos or community, still the plight of the black and the brown minors are still really in jeopardy, and we've got to answer that question to try to really do something to prevent these minors from further graduating on into a prison system.
Now, pin that right there for me. And, Dr. King, I have the privilege and the honor of introducing you to the man that made this show possible, Mr. Carlos Martin, and he is also the host of Criminalized by Color. He is a retired Army veteran that was also, because we're going to fast forward from where Mr. Jackson left off when he talks about the criminal justice Jim Crow system. Now let's fast forward to Carlos Martin's story as a veteran in uniform beaten by the police. Welcome, Mr. Carlos Martin. Please say hello to Dr. Alveda King, and you already know Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. Thank you for making this show possible.
Hello, everyone. How are you guys doing today?
Hi there, Brother Martin. Glad to hear from you.
I apologize for my tardiness. I'm finishing my finals. I'm just blessed to be able to be on this phone call with two amazing people. So I'm just excited to be in you guys' presence.
Well, now, Dr. Alveda King, I wanted to introduce this young man to you because, one, he helped protect this country. And as we embark on remembering 9/11, this Army veteran was served with such injustice. And when we pose the question of Dr. King's last book, Where Do We Go From Here, Chaos or Community, Mr. Joseph Jackson, he says, well, Dr. King, you first said that we go with God in the midst. Mr. Joseph Jackson echoes that this is his ministry. And I truly believe that God is still in control. Once you hear this young man's story, Dr. King, you're going to know what forgiveness is. Dr. King, would you be so kind as to say hello to Carlos Martin? Hello, Dr. Alveda King?
I'm not going to be able to say firsthand online to hear the testimony, but I will get the link. But let me greet you in the name of Jesus. And I know that you're on the battlefield, and I'm glad to meet you both. I'm going to have to say good night, but I'm glad to have been on with you just for this time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. King. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Dr. Alveda King. Now, Carlos Martin,
yes,
since we are at this segue of where do we go from here, can you, for our audience, testify to what happened to you? Mr. Joseph Jackson, he gave us a testimony, and it segues into your story, because he talked about the Jim Crow days and his ministry of, you know, the minors and making sure that through his work that they didn't experience half the stuff that he went through. But fast forward
right
to your experience in, was it North Carolina?
Columbia, South Carolina.
South Carolina. So fast forward to what year did you experience your taste of racism in uniform?
What happened to me in was on October 24th, 2005. I was coming home from work. I had just got done being stationed in Columbia, South Carolina. It was Fort Jackson. I was coming from Germany. My ex at the time, she had just got back from Iraq and serving her country there, and I did a tour in Bosnia. So I just got done doing a uniform inspection on my soldier, PFC Carlisle. I live like maybe 2 or 3 miles from the base. I was coming home. There was an officer that was in my neighborhood, and he got called out there because there was supposed to be a white male flashing little kids. As I rode into my neighborhood, I rode behind the officer. We went through the parking lot together, which is shaped like a rectangle. He entered first. We eventually became parallel, and I acknowledged him by nodding my head to him. He took that as I was teasing him, making fun of him. I'm not sure. I thought that was a custom. If someone nods their head, it's a gesture or a way of saying hello, kind of like a cowboy tipping his hat. While I was in uniform. So I went to go park my car. I got out my car and I was walking towards my door to go into my house. I hear a car peel off. So naturally I turn around to see what's going on. I see an officer running towards me. Hey, you, come here, come here. I said, who, me? He said, yeah, you. I'm out here for a noise violation. I said, well, sir, it couldn't have been me. Plus I have an officer that lives right up above me. He's asked me for my license and registration. I handed him my documents. When I handed him my documents, I handed him a paper license instead of a picture license because I lost it in Germany and I was waiting on DMV to re-mail me my picture license. So they gave me a paper license, which is a legal document that you can drive on. I handed it to the officer and I said, dude, if you would just calm down. He said, you will not address me as dude. I'm a Richland County officer of the law. I said, well, you address me by hey, you. He said, that's because I don't know your name. I was like, well, I don't know your name either. And next thing you know, he slams me to the ground and he starts beating on me, punching me, kicking me. My neighbor, who was the police officer's mother, runs downstairs to get my ex. And she comes outside and she sees the whole situation where the officer is beating on me. He's making all these racial comments that I'm nothing but another black statistic, how he's glad Johnny Cochran is dead. Welcome to the South. He's the law. He can do what he wants. I yell to my ex and I tell her, hey, everything's going to be okay. And I guess that pissed the officer off. So he brings out a can of mace and he maces me in my face. He tries to get the mace in my eyes. So I immediately follow my army training. I cover my eyes. I hold my breath because I didn't react like the normal civilian reacts. He thought I was on drugs. So he became even more violent. The women and children in my neighborhood came out and they started watching the event that happened because I used to take all their children to my football games because I played semi-pro football for the Carolina Titans. He got nervous. He gets on the radio, code 1033, officer in distress, help, help. Within 2 to 5 minutes, all these other officers surround the scene. My ex was taking pictures of him. He says, get her black ass, you know, excuse my language, get her black ass, she has pictures of me. So Deputy Officer Clark, he runs up on my ex and throws her into the car. He puts her in a full Nelson and handcuffs her. After she's already detained, he picks her up by the back of the arms and slams her into the ground face first, where she couldn't even break her fall because she was handcuffed. During this whole time frame, they sexually harass her, acting as if they were looking for a weapon or drugs or whatever else. Other cops arrive to the scene. During this time frame, I'm crying out to her, trying to tell her that God is going to take care of us. Everything's going to be okay. EMS is called to the scene. They said they should have known it when it was Officer Fields, as if he had a history of doing this. Now, mind you, this is the same police officer that beat up the young lady that went viral at Spring Valley High School, the one that was sitting at her desk on and had her cell phone in her hand. He comes in the classroom and slams her on her head, throws her across the classroom, and then handcuffs her in front of other children in a classroom. And she was like, I believe, 16 or 17 years old. This is the same guy. So the EMS said, I should have known it was Officer Fields. That's how we got his name. I yelled out and said, hey, can I get pictures? Can I get my ex's camera phone? And because it has pictures of the situation and what happened. And he basically told me if I was willing to delete all the pictures, that he would give me the phone back. I said, hell no, that's our evidence to protect us. So he illegally confiscated the phone and he deleted pictures. And the pictures that he saw fit that he thought made him look as if he was doing the right thing is the photos that were left in the phone. We got taken downtown. We got booked. Oh, excuse me. Before we got taken downtown, he puts us in the back of the paddy wagon. And he tells my wife that he's going to take her to the hotel, which he claimed was jailhouse when we went to court or whatever else. But that's not how you speak to a woman. That's not how you speak to a married woman or whatever else. That's definitely not how you know, it's just inappropriate. And so while we were downtown, we got fingerprinted, mugshot. To make a long story short, we got on bail in that morning and we went to the military. And then we went back to internal affairs. We did the internal affairs report and the guy was so cocky, or I won't even say cocky. What I will say is, he was so used to doing whatever he was doing and getting away with it, he admitted to everything as if it was nothing, like nothing was going to happen. And the sad thing in society is we see so many officers kill people and get away with it, and nothing happens, regardless of whether it's being recorded, regardless of if innocent people are being shot in front of their children, you know, they're still getting away with it. And so the system has to be fixed because it's broken.
You know, that is so true. We're going to let Mr. Joseph Jackson jump in here, but you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter whether an officer is wearing a camera and you can see right there that wrong has been done. We want to get to the part about the level of forgiveness that ultimately arose out of this. Mr. Joseph Jackson, did you have any comments thus far? And then we're going to turn it back over to Mr. Martin to Apex 2. That ultimate level of forgiveness that he was able to draw from his relationship with God?
Well, yes, because it's just the fact that this did not happen, in the 1960s. This did not happen in the 1970s, 80s or 90s. This incident, with regards to police brutality,
right,
happened, listen now, it happened to this black brother in 2005. Now,
right,
move on beyond 2005, further into the millennia, and you think of names like Sandra Bland,
right,
Michael Brown. You think of recently, where after 5 years, finally, justice was served, even though Mrs. Garner's son had been killed as a result of a of a illegal chokehold by Daniel Pantaleo. But
yeah,
this is what we're talking about. Yeah, this is what we're talking about. God is in charge, because the commissioner finally realized that this officer had to be fired. But my point is, this as subtle as it is, don't be fooled that we are still free from the abuses of police brutality. That's all I got to say on that. As long as you're black and brown.
For me, I did an interview with Jake Tapper, and Jake Tapper asked me a question, and he said, if you saw Officer Fields again, what would you say to him? And I said, I would forgive him. Now, I think a lot of people got forgiveness messed up, and they don't understand how powerful forgiveness is, right? Because, my forgiveness wasn't just about Officer Fields. It was more so for myself, so I can find some mental clarity to say, now what? What can I do now? Because when you're angry, you can't think clearly. And that's how you make mistakes, because your emotions can allow you to go down the wrong road. So when I said my forgiveness was from my own mental clarity. So now, because I was able to find forgiveness, I was just on Ballers. I'm able to write movies about this. I'm writing scripts about this, and I'm able to fight this narrative from a more powerful circumstance than just emotion. No, Jay-Z said we moved on from Nelly. No, I'm sorry, Jay. No, we haven't. No, we haven't. We still need to kneel, but not only kneel, we still need to take action. You can still kneel and take action, because sometimes when you forget where the kneel is, the action doesn't happen. So you continue kneeling and you continue to take action. Kneeling is not the only step. It's just a step. But you don't forget the beginning, so that way you can get to the finish line. So I disagree with my brother Jay-Z when he says, oh, we moved past it. No, we haven't, because we're still being killed. So you still kneel and you put that into action. But in order to do that, though, you got to have the mental clarity. You have to have the mental clarity in that. Because now what? What steps do we take? Well, one, we need to start taking accountability within ourselves. Two, we need to become more educated. Three, we need to get out there and vote to change laws when we're putting people in positions. There's a lot of different steps that we can four, we need to stop waiting for a leader. We don't need a leader. We need to look at ourselves and look in the mirror, because we have our own strength. These leaders are just people who decided to step up in their own life to make a difference. You don't need nobody else to step up for you. You need to do the stepping up for yourself and stop pointing fingers on someone else when someone else is just another person like you. You have the same power that they have.
Exactly.
You know, that is powerful in and of itself, you know, bringing us back to where do we go from here, chaos or community.
Yeah.
Let me remind
our
listeners, you are tuned into Tribe Family Channel, Voices of Wisdom. This is our final season 10. This is episode 2. I'm Beverly Black. I'm the creator, and I am instead here for Mrs. Geraldine Hollis and co-hosting with her, Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. You're both of the civil rights activist group, the Tougaloo Nine. Had it not been for them, the library systems would not be integrated. And we have had a brief but yet profound conversation with Dr. Alveda King. And the main continuity, the synergy that I'm hearing from everyone relies on our faith and our trust in God, that he is still in control. Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr., he testifies this is his ministry work when it comes to activism. I know that this is Mrs. Geraldine Hollis's ministry work, and she has a book out that everyone can go and pick up. And Carlos Martin, you also have a book out, and we want to thank both of you for helping to make this show possible. Back to Mississippi by Mrs. Geraldine Hollis, and also March Memories, and you can get her books at backtomississippi.com. Now, Carlos Martin, we know that you penned a book about your experience, and would you tell us about your the name of the book, and then get back to how you were able to surrender and give it to God for your healing?
I wrote a book called A War on Friendly Grounds, because that's what I feel like we're having right now, that it's a real battle that we're really going through. Like, this is supposed to be home, but we are at war in our own country, in our own home, for equality and peace. So me being a soldier, you know, I protected the flag. And I believe either two things has happened. Either I protected a lie, or the flag will become the truth. And what I mean by that is the flag represents freedom, justice, and liberty for all. Now, either that's true, or it's the biggest lie that America's been selling for the longest. You decide for yourself. But for me, the book was inspired because I ain't supposed to be here. Why wasn't I Trayvon Martin? Why wasn't I Sandra Bland, Eric Garner, Fidel Castillo, or anyone who's ever lost their life? Why wasn't I one of them, God? That's why I know he spared me. And so what I'm doing is speaking for the ones who never got the opportunity to speak. And I'm doing that by my book. I'm doing that by writing a short film right now that I'll be pitching for a feature film. And the continuous of content that I will continue to make, and me doing amazing shows like Criminalized by Color, and I'm so grateful to the Tribe Family Channel for the amazing opportunity, Miss Beverly Black, for, you know, God allowing us to find each other, because I didn't know who Miss Beverly Black was. But I just saw something on Facebook, and it reached out, and then we wound up connecting for this blessing to happen. You know, for the genius is common, where I said my forgiveness, my power or my genius is forgiveness, because I understand the power for forgiveness. And it's so important to understand that, because when you forgive, you're able to be free. And when you're able to be free, you're able to take control of a situation, because one moment doesn't define your whole life. You define what that moment's going to mean and what you're going to do with it. Like, OK, I asked the question, right? And it said, if you die today, would you get an A-plus on life's report card? And only you know the answer to that question. But if not, and you wake up and God blesses you to see tomorrow, you better live like it's extra credit, because tomorrow's not promised. What are you doing with the gift of life? Are you living it, or are you letting it slip by? Because everyone doesn't get that gift, because someone died in this moment. So my steps that I'm taking, I will continue to fight, I will continue to talk, I will continue to give, and I will continue to love. Because we got to get back to the essence of loving. We got to get back to the essence of respecting our women. We got to get back to the essence of respecting ourselves, each other. We got to. Those are steps. How can you go anywhere if you can't find love? How can you
amen
go anywhere if you don't
that
want to respect
amen
each other?
Amen. You know, you are so right and spot on. Mr. Joseph Jackson, the apex of him being beaten by the police in his army uniform and his ex-wife being assaulted, sexually assaulted, the ultimate disrespect, and he was able to find forgiveness. Now, where do we go from here? Back to Dr. King's book. Where do we go from here in this chaos in the landscape of this nation? Okay, so we're going to depend on our faith. Now, I'm the type of person that I don't leave out action. I believe that faith with action brings anything to fruition. And I want to thank God as well, Carlos, for our union, and also for Mrs. Geraldine Hollis bringing me into her life, and that of bringing Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. into my life. And so everything is for a reason and for a purpose.
Right.
Now,
right.
as we get to the final minutes of the show, in this playing field and the landscape that we are in today, okay, if you were, let's see, doing a TED Talks or speaking to someone at the university or speaking to grandchildren, those that are here, not yet here, Carlos. I know you're not old enough to be a grandparent. But the message ultimately has to be enlightening, to awaken the consciousness to what is happening around us. It is very chaotic. How do we bridge community within the chaos? And I'm going to ask you both, where do we go from here? Carlos, you will go first.
Okay.
Mr. Joseph Jackson will close out the show with the final message. Where do we go from here? So you have a brief moment, Carlos, so that we can give the floor to Mr. Joseph Jackson, Jr. of the Tuvalu Nine.
Okay. Well, I wish I had a second for to speak with Mrs. Dr. King, Avita King, because I wanted to ask her a question, or I feel like this, and I could be totally wrong or out of pocket. I don't believe Martin Luther King ever died because of his speech, "I Have a Dream." I don't think they killed him because of that. I believe they killed him when he started speaking truth about getting land and owning property and black businesses and knowing who you are. Because when you know who you are, people can't control you. And I believe that's why they took his life. But what would I pass on to the future kids? I would give them this poem that God gave me. And it says, "What makes a rainbow beautiful? Is it not the diversity of colors? Well, if that's true, is mankind's kryptonite trying to make one color better than the next? And if that happens, is it still a rainbow? I think not. So why are we destroying something that God created beautiful with invisible lines of hate? We're all 6 degrees of separation from loving each other and getting along. It's the power of choice, but we choose to be addicted to poison, and that's why we're in the boat that we're in. We got to get back to the essence of love, and that's the only way we'll be able to make any type of change, with the power of truth. Because the Bible said man united can accomplish anything. So when will we unite? That is my question."
Amen. Amen to that. Amen to that. Mr. Joseph Jackson, Jr.
Yes.
Where do we go from here?
I'm really on the same spiritual page of a commitment for humanity as my brother Carlos Martin is on. I want to say to him that he is a great inspiration unto me, realizing that all is not lost on his generation. And listening to him speak passionately about love and coming together as a community of diverse people, I am really, 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 really honored at this time to be to have been reconnected to him, and I will continue to pray for his leadership and for all that God has chosen for him to do in the future. And lastly, but not least, Abraham Lincoln said, "A house divided cannot stand." That's our nation.
Mm.
And we are much closer to a chaotic state than we are to a community of love.
Mm.
And as Dr. King said, Ms. Black, either we go up together, we'll all go down together. What is your choice?
Mm,
which direction are you going to take? That's all.
Can I say this one thing, Ms. Beverly?
Let me just say this because I don't want to forget, actually. I'm going to be honest why I want to say it. We are at that pivotal point, and I will give you the opportunity to speak again, Carlos, but we are at that pivotal point. And, Carlos, there were a plethora of subjects that we could have wished to address with Dr. Alveda King, but we were restricted with the content in which we could actually discuss. But I will say this. There was a mix-up with her requiring fees that were of an astronomical nature, and she actually went through her handlers and had that fee dropped exponentially. And so we are literally able to have her here, not because of what they would present her to recover as a speaker. And for that, I'm honored and I'm humbled. Wow. And, you know, wow, when I called her before showtime, she said she was glad to do it. She said, I'm glad to do it. And I thank her for that because, you know, speakers, even myself, my speaker's fee, you know, is on Black Speakers, greatblackspeakers.com. And I encourage everyone, Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr., Mrs. Geraldine Hollis, you, Carlos Martin, to get on Great Black Speakers. And you can command the 1500 through 3,500 plus travel and accommodations. There are people that need to hear what you have to say, and I will do my absolute best to ensure that those connections are made. Now, we know we have the debates tonight, and so we're going to be very conscious of the time. I want to remind our listeners that Voices of Wisdom is named so to keep the voice of Rachel Berry alive through our platform. She created the group Voices of Wisdom because everyone knows something that someone else needs to know, officially known as the Vow Network on Facebook. Had it not been for Rachel, I would have not come to radio. Little did I know that in my sister's destiny, she would start me off on the radio. Though I had taken radio broadcasting in school, I didn't know that it was in my destiny. And so for that, I am forever humble and grateful to all of you for being here with me. Dr. Alveda King, our guest, Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr., our co-host, Mrs. Geraldine Hollis, in her absence and travels, we want to continue to lift up her and her family, and Mr. Carlos Martin, our sponsor. I want to thank each and every one of you for making this possible. If not for you, I would not be where I am today. My final words would be to buy land, get a passport, acquire not bitcoins and artificial finance, virtual money. When that boy Epstein was trying to lead this country, he had a pocket full of diamonds. Now, what does that tell you? Money is diamond and gold. This paper and currency, if China drops the American dollar from their system, it would be worthless in China. As much as we owe China for our money to be worthless, come on now. So get some land and think. $1.5 trillion we sink into other people's properties, other people's stores, other people's companies, other people's entities, other people's clothing, other people's consumables, other people's food products, other people's everything. And then when we make it, we go build schools out of the country. Even when we make it. Yeah, I'm talking to any and all of you that ever made enough money to provide a school. Why did you go out of the country? And if that applies to you, if the dress fits, if the O is yours, then own it. Yes, I said it, and I mean it, because we're not taking care of business right here.
Mm.
And until we take care of business right here, until we get it right on this land, America going to go to hell in a handbasket. And I mean that. Carlos,
well,
yes, sponsor, you wanted to come in with it. Amen.
I wanted to. Brother Nipsey Hussle just lost his life, and he had a slogan that said, "The marathon continues." And I feel like it was only a marathon because he was running the race by himself. What would happen if we all ran the race together? Wouldn't it be a sprint? How much change could we make if we just came together? We have so much power. We have so much talent. Look how far we came as a people. We were just slaves. And now look at them. If we could just unite that power, we could do anything, y'all. Anything. We got to come together. We got to love each other. We have to.
Amen. Amen. We thank you. And that is very profound, because we definitely have to combine our resources. Now, we're out of time, but I just want to remind everyone that you can catch Carlos Martin on his own show, Criminalized by Color, September 15th. His guest will be Dr. Maxine Bryant. That's 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern on Tribe Family Channel. Mr. Joseph Jackson Jr. will be back on Voices of Wisdom October 10th. And we'll let you know on social media who our guests will be on that phenomenal show. We're going to continue to bring rife content, enlighten the mind, and spark the brain. And I want to thank you both once again for making this possible. We highlighted the last book that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote, which is Where Do We Go From Here, Chaos or Community? And we ask that you would remain on the line to listen to his last speech. And we want to thank you once again and say God bless you, God bless America, God bless those that lost their lives in 9/11 in Pennsylvania, in the Pentagon bombing, as well as the Twin Towers. God bless the Bohemians and all those affected by Hurricane Dorian. And God bless those that may be suffering from an illness or caring for a loved one, or just not right and have a certain angst that has them off balance, and the ebb and flow of life just isn't quite right. We lift you all up in prayer, and we thank you, and we bid you a good night, and God bless you.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges, because they haven't committed themselves to that over that. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
I don't think any of us can be satisfied in the United States until that war is brought to an honorable end and American soldiers are brought back here to the United States.
One day, we will have to stand before the God of history, and we will talk in terms of things we've done. And it seems that I can hear the God of history saying, that was not enough. But I was hungry, and ye fed me not.
Tribe Family Channel. Tribe Family Channel.